Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when God puts a word in your heart, especially, what does he talk about? How about this morning? This is a certain thing in my heart all week. I'm always very careful to make sure that I'm not here to share what I'm reading, my devotions, and I want to hear from the Lord. I want to really hear from the Lord, because this is the only one that can confirm and demonstrate what he has spoken. Amen. So when God was sharing all this in my heart and my soul, I was processing it for me and meditating on that for me. Amen. And God has many ways to help us to see what he's saying. Amen. And actually, this morning, you can see I look like somebody in the hospital room or something with wires in my head and wires in my body. Honestly, this is the message, it's a cross. It's so uncomfortable because this is the first time. But I'm not doing it for me. It's because there's so many times, by nature of the way God works in me, when I'm in the spirit or I start obeying God, I don't realize it. I hear myself, but I don't realize that my voice is so low. So people are saying, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. And it's been going on for a long time. Amen?
Amen.
So immediately God says, you have to wear this. So I have to obey. Amen? Mm-hmm. Not for me. And that's what the cross is. It's about others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're blessed this morning to see some of our sons in the Lord.
Amen.
That's amazing.
Amen.
To see that great.
Gary.
Oh my God, is that what the military does to you? And that's Michael. That's my son, Michael. God bless you.
Amen.
Oh my God, we thank God for you all. Thank God for you all. The prayers raised up to serve the nation.
Amen.
Give God glory. Amen.
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 God will continue to bless you. Amen. I thank God you're all here. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. God. I thank God for your presence. This morning, I just want to be obedient because the more you have this iPhone or whatever phone that you use, and the more you have this internet, it is very obvious about your generation. It is overtaken by evil. Our generation is overtaken by rebellion. Our generation is taken over by corruption. Our generation is speaking so loud about self-independence. Completely, we don't want nothing to do with God. We don't want nothing to do with the ways of God. Our generation is speaking so clear about the broad way and Jesus. But you see, God in his wisdom knows the end from the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Beyond me if I rest on resisting the Christ. Amen. God in his wisdom knows the end from the beginning. God created the universe. He never created anything that he never has solution for. He never created anything that he woke up one day and said, I can fix this. It's beyond me. He is God. So in his mercy, he gave us a promise. He says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. In other words, any generation that experiences the overwhelming manipulation and overthrow of Satan in their minds, consciousness, in their laws, and the world is speaking so clear, we want our way and we're going to have our way, and not so loud. It is not a threat to God, and it's never been. God already has made a way. Amen? Actually, he said, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen? So today, I want to share with you the greatest solution to every problem. The greatest answer to every situation. The greatest access to everything ever that God has given to man. Without this, it's impossible to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Because you're not going to be successful. It will never work for you. Christianity is being Christ-like. And true Christianity will never work for you, no matter what I'm about to tell you. Amen? Because this is the solution. Everybody say the cross. Everyone say the cross. The cross.
The cross.
I want the Lord to put so strong on my heart. It's, you know, every word of God is about the cross. But there are certain times God wants us to focus on the message of the cross. So, I want us to look at a few things together. And as the Lord speaks to you today, don't have Mr. A on your mind, Sister B on your mind. Allow God to speak to you personally, because He spoke to me and I'm walking in my heart. Amen?
Amen.
So the first scripture I want to look at, let's open to the book of Corinthians. First Corinthians. First Corinthians. First Corinthians, I'll read verse 17 and 18. It says, "For Christ sent me not to just baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Jesus Christ should be made of no effect." Verse 18. "For the preaching, the message, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Amen.
It is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at a few verses. So, many times when we hear about the cross, the first thing that goes to our mind, of course, and assured, is the cross of Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
That was the first thing that goes to our mind. But the message of the cross, it is not just the fulfillment of the cross of Calvary. The message of the cross has been from Genesis to Revelation. The message of the cross is basically nothing but the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. The message of God, the reality of God, is the cross. So, even before Jesus died on the cross, like you heard Paul said, is the preaching of the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God. So, before Jesus ever fulfilled the mystery of the cross, Jesus fulfilled it to reveal the fullness of what the cross really is. And before he went there, he preached a lot about the cross. He preached about the kingdom, and he preached about the cross. So he can't, that final fulfillment cannot just be, that's all about the cross. He preached about it because he understood the message of the cross more than just him fulfilling it there. And here is a few things. Here are just a few things. I want to read to you this morning before we go deep into this, what Jesus said about the cross. So if you have your Bibles, I want us to look at some scriptures together today, because this is very important. I plead with you to go back to reading the Word of God. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 23. As Jesus was ministering and preaching to people, he came Luke 9:23. We'll get to 10 very soon. Luke 9:23. As he was preaching and sharing about the gospel and so many things was happening, questions, he came to this point specifically to his disciples, to those that are following him, and those who were serious about following him, because they were concerned about family, about things, about all kinds of things about life. Jesus said this word on the cross in Luke 9:23. And he said to them, all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, not solely, not everyone, daily, and follow me. If any man will come after me, if you want to make it with me, you must deny yourself. You take up your cross daily and follow me. So, obviously, it's not carrying that big wood and just driving it every day of your life. So, let's look again at another verse. Luke chapter 14. 14. If you have your Bibles, 14, we'll look at verse 27. Again, Jesus was speaking at a different place, ministering to the people. And again, he called his disciples together. And this is what he said. Verse 27. And whosoever, now this is prior to people concerned about the cares of life. Verse 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross or carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's not a suggestion. He says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot. So it's impossible to really be a true Christian if we don't understand the cross. Because it's a solution. Amen?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So now, let's summarize, because God helps me to understand things better in the physical than when I just read it in scriptures or in the Word. So when I understand it in the physical, then I can understand what God is saying spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus does that a lot. He always uses the physical true life experience to give us a revelation. So let's now open to our main story today, a testimony from the book of Luke. Everything is Luke today. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, we'll read from verse 25. Please be mindful that this story, this testimony that Jesus is about to give, was among churches, in the church, it's among believers, among teachers, among people who are so religious and faithful. He's among his people, and he's been preaching. And so, in the midst of his preaching, one of the teachers of the word, they call them lawyers in those days, lawkeepers, said, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer, an expert in the word of God, stood up and was testing Jesus, was trying him, was trying to tempt him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to make it to heaven the rest of my life? And not only to make it to heaven, eternal life begins here when you encounter the cross. Abundant life. He said unto him, what is written in the word, this is in the law, how readest thou? Verse 27. He now quoted the scriptures and said, he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Some will say, and then with all thy mind. You love God with all your heart, all your strength, your soul, and your mind. As you love God with everything that you are. Then two, he says, and then you love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said to him, thou hast answered right. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus didn't stop there, because he preached about these two commandments upon which everything hangs. Jesus said, this you practice. Amen? And thou shalt live. So, like you all know, we just had our bread of life. Many of us, when we hear stories, it's easy for us to understand the word. But when we read a lot of these letters, we need more revelation and understanding. So now, everything I've told you so far is just words. It can make sense to some people, but it will not make sense to others. So Jesus wanted to explain this commandment. These two, so these are the two greatest. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation hangs on two commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor yourself. That is the whole Bible fulfilled. Now, everything about the Bible. So now Jesus says, I want to show you the fulfillment of what you just told me you know about the Word of God. So Jesus started this. He said, were he willing, and he said unto him, thou hast answered by these two, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem, and here where the man is coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Crisis. Major crisis. And by chance, there came down a certain priest, the pastor, me now. So you see, this person came from Jerusalem going to Jericho, the other way, going towards outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents for the purpose of this meeting, the church, where the church people are, where church, everything about God. So here, this person probably left church or left the church environment or left the place where Christians are possibly a believer from Jerusalem, he was going down this way. And he was attacked. So now, the priests, the leaders of the church, we, church has closed. Amen? We just came out of service. And the priest now is going from the same Jerusalem, going that way. And when he saw him, this person that was robbed and wounded and left half dead, the priest saw him. He just finished church, I just finished preaching, talked everything about God, and he passed by on the other side. So, I'm coming from church, amen? I just preached about love. I just preached about the two commandments, about how God loves people and how we need to love our neighbor. And God just put me to test. Amen? He says, I was going the same direction where somebody had a problem. And listen to it. I saw the need here. I saw a crisis. And I walked the other way. And I avoided it. Amen? Let's continue to read. And likewise, a Levite. Jesus took the leaders of the church. These Levites are the leaders of the everything to do with the tabernacle, the tent, the temple in Jerusalem. So he took the main leader of the church and he took the people serving in the church. Ordained, consecrated with a focus to be an example of what Christianity is, of what the church will look like, or what God looks like. So it says, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Amen? So the priest, when he saw the person there, he did this way and walked that way. He did not care. He was indifferent to that crisis. Now, the Levite, the worship leader or the worship team or the people that serve in the church, leaders of the church, he saw it. He said, let me come a little bit close. Let me make sure it's not my brother, my sister, the member of our church. I looked, he went the other way. My God. So let's keep reading. But a certain unbeliever, a Samaritan. Now, this person doesn't go to the building called church. He's now coming from the other side, showing he's coming from going towards Jerusalem. But a certain Samaritan, as he joined it. Now, this one has the other two. Didn't have a lot of excuses. This one is on a journey. He has a focus. He is going somewhere. It possibly a wedding. Possibly whatever it is going, what's important. But the same Samaritan, as a journey, came where he was, the same person. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own donkey, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. And the next day, the morrow, when he stayed overnight with this person, stopped everything he was doing, stayed with this person. And the next day, when he was about to depart, he took out 2 pence, money, and he gave to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, Jesus now asks this man a question. And the question Jesus asked this man is asking every one of us here today. Amen?
Amen.
Remember the message today is about the cross. So, Jesus now asked the question to this leader of the church, this teacher of the word. He now asked him, "Sir, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which of these three will make it to heaven? Which of these three will receive eternal life?" Because that's the question. How can I receive eternal life? How can I make it to heaven? How can I really be a follower of Christ? Which of these three follows Jesus? Which of these three will eventually make it to heaven? Which of these three has done what God requires? And he said, "He that showed mercy." Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
He said he had compassion on him. But now he explained what compassion means. He says, "That should not say." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do that what?" He didn't say go and keep reading. He said, because some people read too much and never come to the knowledge of God. He said, "Go and do what you've been reading." Amen.
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 So let's see what the Lord has for us today. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Two major revelations of God's command. One is to love God with all our heart, with all our strength, all our soul, all our mind. To love God. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
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 So, like Jesus, I want to learn a little bit through illustrations today. I mean, share with you what the Lord shared to me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to leave this one here. I'm going to start with this. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus made a statement. He said the thief. Remember that person was struck by thieves? The thief comes to do three things. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen?
Amen.
But I have come to do what?
To
give life. And life what? Abundantly. So, what is the cross? Why did Jesus leave us a legacy that the cross is a place of victory, is a place of your experience, restoration, the place of victory, healing, everything, reconciliation, forgiveness? Why is the cross the place of healing, deliverance, everything that you can imagine that God has? Why is the cross that cross of God? So what happened is this. The creator of the universe is love. Amen?
Amen?
It's mercy. That's who he is. He's compassionate. He's the only one that has who he is, what he has, to be able to love humanity. And his love is different. His love is, everybody say, unconditional.
Unconditional.
Everybody say, selfless.
Selfless.
The love of God is unconditional, is selfless. Amen?
Amen?
He says, before we even knew him, While we were yet sinners, it says he died to even just begin to tell us the beginning of his love. So that doesn't make sense to man, isn't it? Somebody can't die for a sinner when we can't even die for our own children. When pressure comes, you find that you can't die for your children. You do your best. Amen? Because of we only have what you call self-love. That's the love of man. So, when Jesus said, many people don't understand that. When Jesus says, if you don't hate mother, father, you can't be myself. He's not saying his mother, his son, his daughter. When he talked about it, if you don't have, if you can't carry your cross, he's simply saying, you cannot compare human love to the love of God. The love that our siblings, our children, our mothers, our families have is one of the most powerful broad love, human love, ever in human life. The blood, the love you have for your children, the love you have for your husband, your wife, the most powerful love because it's blood covenant. But it says that love, in comparison to the love of God, is hatred. When you compare the love we have for one another, it says it's like hatred if you want to compare it to the love of God. What does that mean? It means as much as we love our children, we love our, I'm telling you, when pressure hits, you'll find out. And when pressure hits, our love is limited. Sometimes we can save our children. Sometimes our children can save us. We are limited. And our love is this. You can believe it. When the people we love, after they die, in our human mind, we think about them, we remember them, but that's the end of it. It's over. But God's love is eternal. It's forever. It's unconditional. It is beyond your fault. It is beyond your limitation. It is beyond any sin you can break. The love can conquer it. Amen?
Amen.
The love of God cannot, is a mystery that you cannot compare to human love. That's why Jesus says, if you do not overcome, you don't cross the level of the love you have for father, mother, this, that, you don't really understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. So what does this mean? Why would somebody come out of church, come out of worship, come out of preaching, and see a need and walk by? A crisis and walk by. But that person will go and see the same problem with their children, their siblings, and take care of them. Why will a stranger be different? Because our love is corrupting itself. It's for me and my family. It's for me and my close friends. That's human love. Our love operates this way. For example, somebody called me one day, I was with some people, and they said, oh, this person just had a wreck. He just had a bad wreck, he lost his daughter. And everybody felt compassion. But then, in a similar situation, we heard another news that was closer home to this person. Then we heard the other news, it was, oh my God, you know, let's pray. But when he heard this news that was close at home, he started crying, bawling, crying, lamenting. What's the difference? Because human love, you find out, is not very pure. Because it's only limited to people that are close to you. That's when you feel it. So that person that has need doesn't have a brother or a sister. If he has a brother or a sister, the human love will work. But Jesus wanted to tell us about the cross. There is a love that the good Samaritan that is shown that is not human. It's not about family. It's not about whatever is my brother or my sister. There's a lot that good Samaritan shows that Jesus says, who is my neighbor? How do you know you have that love that is from God? So the journey began this way. God wanted to give us love. Amen?
Amen.
He came from heaven, sent out Adam and Eve, but there's something he gave to man. Every one of us here have it. Everything that God created, God gave it to every man. Everybody says, self-will. What makes God God is because he cannot compete with his creation. So God gave everybody will. The only things that don't have their will is bad, things that don't have spirit, that will not live forever. But everything that will live forever, including angels, were given will. Amen?
Amen.
And this will did not begin here on earth. God started with his angels in heaven. So there's this guy called Lucifer that was the head of worshippers. That's why I see these worshippers and preachers in that story. He was the head. Amen?
Amen?
I want you to listen carefully to the cross. It's not about wood. He was in heaven, and heaven is full of what? Glory. Heaven is full of splendor. God is there. Everything is there. You don't need anything. Everything is just wonderful. But there's one thing that God gave to every man. Freedom. Will. But the reason for that will is that God did it to know those who are his and those who are not his. If you really are God's, you will surrender your will to the will of God. You will surrender to your Creator. Amen? That's how you separate. So, in heaven, the separation was going to take place. Who knows how long God has created it over there? And the time came, and God started looking at their hearts. And their hearts started turning to actions. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 14 and Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 about this. Lucifer, that he at a point now started saying, I want to sit in your throne, I want to do this, I want to do that. So Lucifer was the first creation that manifested complete rebellion, complete disloyal, complete manifestation of one that has failed the test in the glory of God's presence. Amen?
Amen?
My brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Because I asked God, why would somebody walk out of church and they not care? And an unbeliever was broken. So, God exposed Lucifer and others that carry the same heart. And that's what we call fallen angels and demons today. They turn to darkness. So Lucifer came to that garden through that serpent. And then God has now created man. So God wants to use Lucifer to test the heart of man. The fall of Adam is not an ignorant thing to God. The Bible says he already prepared an insurance for man. The lamb that was slain before the foundation. God knew that man has to be tested. How will man be tested? He'll be tested by the things that he used to test heaven. So Lucifer was the test. The biggest assignment of Satan is to test us. On temptation. Trial. And God has made a way for us to be undefeatable. If we understand the word. So, it's now time for men to be tested. And the test was by Lucifer. So the devil came, and God already told Adam, don't do this, don't eat that, But God already blessed them. Adam didn't need anything in the garden. He was blessed. There was no knowledge of sin. So some people say, this made me, this made me. I didn't have money, I didn't have this, I don't have that, I'm poor. Adam had everything. In heaven, Lucifer had everything. So the test of will has nothing to do. So, in that garden, he came, Lucifer said, has God told you to do this, do this? Started manipulating. Finally, Lucifer knew we can do anything with our will. And he played on it. And he gave them an option. And Adam and Eve took their willpower and said, we like what you're telling us. That tree is good for us. That fruit is good for us. We will eat it. It's a wise thing to do. So men took their independence, their will, and submitted it to Satan. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we call the fall of man today. Amen? Amen? So what has happened from the fall of man? What happened from the fall of man? The glory of God lifted. The knowledge of God lifted. And from that moment, the message of the cross began to man. What is the message of the cross to man? From the fall of man, every human being inherited a blindness that comes from self-will, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, corrupt sin, disobedience, stubbornness, rebellion. And so from that fallen nature, man has no more access or knowledge of heaven. So the whole life of man became what we call horizontal life. Amen. This tree only knows the earth, horizontal. Everybody lives here. You're born. You start living for engineering and for this, for that. You give birth to children. You buy a house. You buy another house, or you go to school. Just from Genesis, you find your occupation. That's where the world lives. We party. We eat. We have children. We are grandchildren, we die, we live, we go. That's what this is. No knowledge of the purpose which is born. No understanding of who brought you into this world. And why are you? So it's just Satan has stolen the vision of man, stolen purpose, stolen life. And the whole human race is lying in death, darkness, just leaves. Enter the world. In this present tree, flesh and blood, they believe. So everybody knows it's like that. Amen? That's the world. Life and darkness. That's the life. That's the truth. Ever since before. Amen? So, why the cross? Jesus fulfilled it on Calvary, but the message started from Genesis. The cross is the message of redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is to pay the full price to get what that was lost. And then when you get that which was lost, you give them back what they possess, what belongs to them. So, everybody is going through this broad way. Everybody is right in their own eyes, a way that seems right, but the end of this, from when you enter the world, to when you exit, is death, is destruction, is hell. Period. This is what everybody. Whether you are a president or Hare Krishna or Islam or Muhammad, every religion ends this way. No religion, everything in this world ends this way. This is where it stops. It doesn't matter how it's painted. This is the end. You come in this way, you can go through all kinds of religion, you exit this way, it's over. So, what is the cross? The cross is God's word coming in the flesh, which has been preached before time, and it comes and creates a stopping point. I said, you can't go that way anymore. I want to point you back. If you continue this line, you're lost. You're going to end up in hell. The cross comes in with mercy. Said, this is redemption. Back to heaven. Back to God. Back to purpose. Back to destiny. Back to the reason you came in the world. So without the cross, the gospel is vain. If you don't understand the cross, you can live a religious life. The priests, the Levites, they are going that way. So what is the cross? So if you preach all the message about the cross from Genesis, all the people that encounter heaven, it's called encounter. So if you're going this way, even look at Saul of Tarsus, look at Jacob, who was a supplanter until he encountered an angel and turned him back to destiny. Look at all these different people in the Bible. But let's look at the New Testament. Paul of Tarsus, religious man, was so religious, not knowing that his religion was already human and fleshly. When he encountered Jesus, there was a heavenly vision. There was a purpose. There was a calling. And he says, this is where I stand. I will never be disobedient to this vision. That points me to the reality of heaven and that maybe a citizen of heaven again. Why is the cross? You see this cross? The blood of the fallen Adam runs every vein that comes from the world. It's like his family tree. It's like a lion we're running. Blindness. When we encounter Jesus, the bloodline changes to this line. We're born again. You can't go this way anymore. You go this way. Only people that are born again have a heavenly vision, have a heavenly purpose. What is the cross? The cross is not religion. Why do I know that the cross is not religion? I told you the story. Religion is having knowledge of something, but no power to it. No reality, no substance, no character to it. What is religion? Jesus says, I want to tell you, preacher, you that you know the two commandments. Amen? You know it. You've read it. But you've not been practicing it. So the man also justifies it. What do you mean I've not been practicing it? Because Jesus said, if you're practicing it, you love your neighbor. What does it mean to love our neighbor? What does it mean to love our neighbor? Why? Jesus is saying, you're not practicing. I will tell you, if you are really have had an encounter with the cross, if you've really experienced that thing, or it's just in your head, if that thing is real, so what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, God, this is like God, this is a tree of life. This is a tree of life. And this is God's tree. And the tree of life is the love of God. Unconditional, selfless. This one, knowing of good and evil, full of self. Anything this one does to you, look at the motives clearly. There must be a gain for it. This one, there is no gain. You give it all because it is just the nature of God's love. So, when man is going this way, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. We cannot redeem man. The reason Jesus came is because he came to bring this tree, this fresh love, this life, this word, no sin. And this love is God himself. Amen? Amen. Unconditional. The love of God. Selfless. So what the cross is Jesus went on the cross and said, let me show you example of the love of God. And so he stood between humanity, that the whole human race is heading to hell. Some have already died waiting in Hades there. All of them, everybody, no man can make it to heaven. So Jesus came from heaven, became flesh, became the Son of God, became love. And on this cross, what did he do? He did an exchange. He took every consequence, every sin, every betrayal, did somebody betray you, did somebody curse you, did somebody, everything that evil has been rooted at every level, he stopped it right here. He says, let me suffer for it. Let me pay for it. Let me die for it. The wages of sin is there. Father, this is the reason I came. I cannot run away from it. He took the place of right. He's righteous. He took the place of a sinner. He's rich. He took the place of poverty. He is nobody. He's the Lord, but he took the place of abuse. Slapped abuse. He is accepted by God, knows what love is. He took the place of rejection. Everything you can name that Satan can do to man, he took it upon himself. And said, I will suffer, I will pay for it. At this cross, he exchanged our polluted, sinful blood for sonship. Regain heaven, focus to heaven, destination heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So at this cross, you can find miracles. If you have a revelation of what he did here. At this cross, you can find forgiveness. At this cross, you can find healing. Whatever it is, this is where the exchange was made. So what is religion? What is all that is? Religion is nothing but head knowledge. No experience. So let's go back to our story and then we'll finish. Here is the world, isn't it? Alright? Here is the world heading this way. Self-centered love. I have never experienced the cross. It's all about me and me. If I know you, I'll help you. If whatever the situation, you get the message, flesh love. So we're heading this way. This love is not qualified to make it to heaven. So here, the Pharisees, the religious people, the law, do's and don'ts, they took the law and put it in their head, but they still live like the world. Because that law they have is flesh love. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are you following this? So, the fact that you are in church and has the label of church goer does not mean you have experienced the cross.
Amen.
The fact that they were teachers does not mean they have experienced the cross. So Jesus says, what happened is, they just have a label, they go to church. They have a label, the teachers and synagogues. But the test of the cross is, if you are this, if you have received God, amen? And you have experienced God, how? Because you love God, after you experience the cross, let me tell you how. After you experience the cross here, you start this journey. You don't go to the palace anymore. You don't go to where they you have experienced a new heavenly direction. This is a purpose, this is a vision, this is a kingdom. You can't experience the cross and still be walking and living for the world. You will live for a vision of heaven while you live in the world. That's the purpose of the cross, is to stop that direction. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you, Jesus says, if you love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul, which is the first commandment, when you put the kingdom first, that first and its righteousness, this is what Jesus is saying. You will become like Jesus. You might not perfect, you know, you're not perfect in the flesh, but you have his character, his No matter how small you have it. Amen? So this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if once you encounter the cross, you encounter Jesus, you encounter the world, you start becoming like this tree and the fruit of this tree. Amen? Not the fruit of that tree. So you start bearing the fruit of this tree, not of that tree. So now when you have the fruit of this tree, if it's apple, you now become like apple, isn't it? So this is what Jesus was telling the Pharisee. He says, now, listen to what he told the Pharisee. Now, what happened is, somebody, this is a different person now, was going this way in the world. And he encountered problems. This is somebody else. Now, the people in church who are supposed to be like Jesus came by this person that was stripped off. See, what Jesus did for us, if we have him, we'll do it for other people. So what Jesus said, if you, Pharisee, have me, this person that was stripped by thief, wounded, when you encounter them, they ought to see a shift in their life.
Yeah.
So what is the cross? Jesus says, the reason why he says, if you don't carry cross, you cannot be my disciple. Basically, you say, if you have not experienced the cross, you cannot have the cross. You can't carry it. And if you experience the cross and you carry it, you become the cross to the people in the earth. Jesus is the one who became the cross for us. Stop all of us and show us the love of the Father. So now he's saying, now I've left you the Spirit, I've left you my love, my life. If you love me, if you have me, you also now become a minister of what? Reconciliation. Everywhere you go, you become the testimony. You become that. So he says, Mr. Worshipper, Mr. Preacher, when you met the person that was needing love, needing care, needing redemption, needing restoration, what happened? You walked by just like the world. So basically, the cross is a manifestation of the mercy of God. What is mercy? One of the best ways to define love is mercy. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Later he talks about the one that showed compassion, the one that showed mercy. What is love compared, you know, if you want to get it by mercy? Mercy, love means nobody should earn your love. We did not earn God's love. We're not qualified. We were sinners. We were rebellious. We nailed him on the cross. We accused him. We did all these things that we were robbers, we're liars, we're cheaters. We know where we all came from. So do we deserve God's love? Do we deserve heaven? You cannot earn the love of God. So it was given to us by mercy. Mercy means God giving you an inheritance that you are not part of the blood. You didn't earn, you were adopted. Mercy is manifested in the form of when your heart is compassionate. For example, this brother is going through something. I mean, I'm not saying we should be emotional. Mercy is not emotional. When people can manipulate your flesh and take advantage of you. Mercy, compassion simply means when your heart is moved by somebody else's need. That when you cannot meet that need, you can at least pray for it. For breaking. Mercy is don't put in condition to doing things for people. To serving God. Don't give because of gain. It is natural for you to be a giver. That's the kingdom of God. God so loved that he gave. Give anything, I'm not just talking about money. giving your time in the things of God, giving your time even at work. Some people get paid to work, but true Christians, they get paid, but they work to show love. When they close from work, if there's something else left to do, you do it. Not because you've been paid for it, not because you've done the clock, but because something you see a need in your company, you see a need there, and you meet the need. Because most people only do what they are paid for. But a believer meets needs even when. Why am I saying this? The person that was wounded, the need was a test. It was not in a public place. The person was wounded in a corner where nobody is. Amen?
Amen.
Why must love be full of mercy, compassion, and selfless? Because, you might not believe this, a lot of people do things for recognition. You say, well, how do I know that? How many times do you worship God alone in your house? How many times do you pray alone? How many times do you give and nobody knows you gave? Sometimes our gift and talent comes out because there are so many people. That's why this house is blessed. God is preparing us for multitudes. But first, is your motive clean? Do I serve God now that Manzai doesn't have enough to give? Do I serve God that Manzai is not in the front page of newspaper? Or I will come and serve and give my heart to this place now that it's popular. It's well known. Everything's happening. Am I even giving myself to God now that Jesus says, what my Father sees in secret, am I faithful? Do I do things so that people will recognize me? Do I get offended when I'm not recognized? Of course, we appreciate people. Jesus told that story because that person that was wounded was in the corner. Why did that person go through that way? If there were lots of people there, oh my God, he will run to that thing and help. Why? Because he wants everybody to know, I can help the needy. I can help the poor. I can help wounded people. But nobody is there. This is what we do that way. What do we do that really shows that what we are really doing is to God and not to men? How do you know that? If all you're always doing is impress people. So it's so deceptive. So Jesus says, love is not only in your mind. Your strength give it to God. It is your strength, your mind, your heart, everything you do, if you bring it unto God, it will prove in your daily life that you are a servant of God. You are committed to the things of God. So when you are doing it as unto God, it is very easy when somebody privately or in secret is going through something, you'll be there. You become that cross. Because the cross is the vessel of solution to the troubles of man. My brothers and sisters, our generation is in trouble. It's in trouble not because God does not have a solution. God has always had a solution. And it's a cross. But the problem is, we stay so much in church worshiping God and preaching to one another that everybody around us is dying. Everybody around us is a sinner. They are lost. They are homosexuals. They are this, they are that. There's no hope for them. But there is hope anywhere the cross is. There's nothing that God has not put in this cross to stop men from going out. The true manifestation that we have this is that our neighbors, one way or the other, we find out we care about them. Our co-workers, the people around us, one way or the other, we know we're not just about ourselves, because the cross is the crucifixion of self. Amen? I come back from work. I do this, I do that, I go this, I do that. It's all about me. It's all about my life. And if I graduate, okay, about my children. It's about my children. Many believers never graduate from me, and my family. And for the next 1 year, says, my life as a believer touched someone. This year, that they can do you say, if it wasn't for you, this year would have been rough for me. One person would like to preach. I would like to sing. But without that neighbor part, we might be seeing ourselves. The Lord spoke to me recently. He said, son, you've been waiting for years. You've been preparing, you've been doing this, you've been serving, doing well. But you know the biggest burden of my heart? I don't want the lost to perish. You are here for the lost. You can come to heaven and enjoy the glory, but you're still here because I put you here to be a reconciliation. No matter how lost they are, I will make a way for their salvation. If you will go. But we can't go without love. Amen?
Amen.
All religion does is condemn sinners. You're playing with drunkards, you're playing with sinners, you're doing this. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when you have the love of God, you are not intimidated by sinners and their sin. Because love is a solution.
Yes.
If you're afraid of helping sinners, that means you've not been completely healed by love. We are light in the midst of darkness. We are the sons of God, overshadowed by the glory of God, and the devil respects that light. We are the only one that don't understand this identity. And so we are insecure around all the years. And then let me just conclude with this. As I just said about, let me give you some real quick personal example about the cross in my life. I can go into a lot of things, but let me tell you some things. Because there are some things that the cross, everybody say the cross is the love of God. And the Bible says, if you're going to preach the gospel, if you're going to minister to the minister, what you love. Amen? Any gospel that is not love is a condemnation. And any gospel that is love must be repetitive. People must have freedom in it. They can't say, love will cause you to abandon sin. Love will cause you to abandon the vices. Because love is God, love is the only thing that feeds the void and sets you free from the emptiness that is holding you captive. Amen?
Amen.
So, when I first came, I'll do this quickly. When I first came from Nigeria, I didn't know what the cross was. I didn't know that people God will use as a cross in my life. Amen? When I first came, God was wanted to teach me how to deny myself. But I'm really teaching, but I didn't know practically what that looks like. So, when I first came, I was an usher in the Bible school where I was. And I did not know there that after many years of sweating in Nigerian sunlight, I never used a deodorant growing up. I didn't buy it. So I had odors. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I'm the only one that didn't smell it in Bible school. I didn't know, but I had body odor. So I'll be washing and hug people. Very polite, they say, oh, we love you. Nobody wants, the cross is an offense. It's an offense. So everybody, but well, one particular lady came to me and he brought me to the Lord. Everybody says, speak the truth in love. He gave me to the Lord. I didn't think anything about it, so I left the deodorant. Skinny deodorant, what are you deodorant for? I left it. So I think she came back to me again and said, did you use that thing that I gave to you? I said, oh, did you know that? I said, I'll use it. So I was offended without knowing it. Where did she give me deodorant? She said, but deodorant, I'm smelling myself. So I didn't know I was defending myself or subconsciously. So later she came back to me. After several trying to use this thing, finally she came to me and she said, brother, what am I doing? I'm giving you this thing. It will help you sleep better. And she said, oh, okay. I didn't like that word. It affected my pride. It did something to me. How come I didn't smell it all my life in Nigeria? I would have blamed it on this prejudice. I'm black, that's why I'm other. We know how to excuse ourselves. So, I was offended. But I didn't realize I was offended. My pride was hurt. So what happened? It was really paralyzed. Is it? If I'm not smelling it, so is it better for me if other people are smelling this? Is it better for me to cure this? So I asked somebody else, do I have all the other? But he said, now that you asked me, I'll tell you the truth. Amen?
Amen?
So the month of 2 or 3 weeks, I got my confirmation. It wasn't pleasant. No. The cross is not pleasant to the flesh. No. The flesh likes to be that way. The flesh likes to, don't tell me anything. I know.
Yeah.
Because I don't smell it, I know. Those people saved my life. I started the journey of smelling. And I went all out. Three showers a day. Deodorant. Morning, afternoon, evening. I started doing everything. Come on. And I became an usher with good breath. Amen. I people were hugging me more. I felt good. Now I'm accepted. Not people turning their face away. Out of the cross. I delivered me. Was love. Those things we don't see. Those things we don't talk about. And another one finally. Very, very deep things. I went to minister to somebody one day, years ago. And unfortunately, the person called me, I was in a hurry. And I ran out, I was crying, and I rushed to the house, and I went and prayed for the person. God touched the person. Amen? But I noticed something on that day. The person, as God was ministering to the person was kind of backing up. So I put up where I left. It was about a week or two later. I don't know what happened. The pastor came to me and said, Michael, you know what? Thank you for praying for me the other day, but did you brush your teeth before you prayed for me? I said, no, you're right. I just ran out of bed. I didn't brush my teeth. Amen? Yes, I want you to listen carefully to what God is saying to you. Amen? I didn't like that. I came to pray for you. I really said, you God helped you. And you're not telling me I have bad breath. She's right. But my mind refused to accept it because he told me. And I wasn't happy. Until later God said, show me. Do you do things to protect, to justify the areas of your life you don't know that are there? That is an offense to people in a negative way. Are you, is there something in your life that makes people really want to come to church? Is there something in you that makes people that don't just feel like I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I don't want this. You don't see it, but they smell it. They taste it. They experience it. Because the cross is the only thing I will share. But you know why the cross is so deep? On that cross, Jesus was naked. Naked. The richest person, the most powerful person. Blood, mercy, went all the way out to tell us how to be free from problems. Do you know the things we are not free from today are the things that nobody dare tell us is in our life? Why? We would be so offended and will carry that offense for days. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
No, that is not true, but it's the fact that you told that you are not about it. We'd rather justify it, and that problem continues. You know why I'm saying that? Because a Pharisee and a Sadducee refuse to release the truth, and they're heading to hell for a church until Jesus came and says, you don't have love. Talking about love, and somebody, you met somebody dying in the street, and you walked past, you are worse than a heathen. And you don't want somebody to tell you that you don't have love, and you want to live in it and die and go to hell. The things that we don't want anybody telling us will never go away without the cross. Once in a while, people tell us these things in polite ways. Since I got married, I don't see my back. Do you see your back?
No.
Eh?
No.
Do you see your back?
No.
Isn't it an advantage that I have somebody that can look at my back and say, this is how it looks like at your back?
Hallelujah.
That's love. Amen?
Amen.
I went to see somebody. I was, we're giving particular, you know, growing up. I noticed that maybe I blew my nose and I did. You know how those things stick to your nose and inside and comes out nose and it dries up. I didn't know that I had this knot dried up in my collar. Nobody was telling me. We don't tell people when we see this. Why do we do that? People get offended. You know, if you tell me, I will probably get offended. So they left that thing I was carrying like that. But my friend saw that, oh my God, this thing is dead. Where is love? So then I wish my wife was there because she knows how to tell me the truth in love. Amen? She would just come and say, you have this thing on this corner here. Let me remove it. That's the cross. My brothers and sisters, we have lost the message of the cross. The world don't hear the truth anymore. The church don't hear the truth anymore. And people are suffering internally. Struggling internally because the things that are said to me are very offensive, and nobody wants to offend anybody. That's where we are. The church is unsafe, the world is unsafe, except around me. So, this morning, I just want to ask you a question: who is your neighbor? You carry the cross. The cross is shameful. The cross will humiliate you. The cross. Jesus says, you don't let these things, the cross, if you don't carry the cross, these little foxes, these things that you're ashamed of will never die away. And you're not my disciples because you're still yourself, yourself, and yourself. There's no death. Paul says, I die daily. I'm calling you to the gospel. It's not fair. I will never be able to stand before God one day. So one person came out of Mount Zion and just continued like that to hell. I want the message of the cross to stop anything that will keep us this way. Father, we want to heavenly driven. That's what the gospel is about. Father, let's stand up together. Father, thank you. You're gentle. You're full of compassion and peace. But Father, let your truth, let your word produce transformation in our lives. Father, let husbands appreciate why you gave us wives. And let wives appreciate why you gave us husbands. There are things my wife will tell me, nobody else will tell me. Help me to receive from her. And help her to receive from me. Father, the cross is the power of the gospel. Speaking the truth in love is the only way we can change. Father, help us. Leaders, help us to receive things from those that see things. And let those that are under leaders, when they see, receive admonition or correction and insight. Father, help us, God, to surrender the truth. It's the only way you save the world. You died for us. Help us, oh God, to lay down our lives. Is speaking the truth in love to others. Thank you. Father, today, I never forgot that woman you used to help me smell good. Till this day. But it was not good for my flesh. But today, I never forget. Father, may we have that in mind. That though people will hate us, persecute us when we speak the truth, but later, they will say, if you did not, I will not be here.
Jesus.
Let us put obeying you first. More than anything else. Yes. Help us to love people around us.
Amen.
Serve them. Care for them. Yes. And show them.